Now, what is going on with this?
So I stopped, picked up the dictionary, and I read the definition of passivity. When somebody's passive. Interesting. Then I just dropped it. I'd say like 5 days ago, I woke up again. Passivity. So I'm thinking, Lord, are you trying to say something here? Please, fill me in. Nothing. I went online to see if there's any book written, I mean, Christian books, on passivity. Couldn't find anything. Oh, well, whatever. Then I stopped and I thought, am I passive about anything? Then I did a search, not that I can think of. This morning I woke up again, passivity. Then it started bothering me. What is going on in here? Am I preaching about passivity tonight? Not yet. So this afternoon, after dealing with some things I had to deal, I kind of asked the gentleman that was with us, can you give me now an hour or two? I need to spend some time here with my boss because there's a word nagging me. And would you believe that I discover some very interesting truth in the Bible about passivity? And I think next week we're going to have a sermon on passivity. I was surprised how much stuff is there when you put it in the context to what the word passivity means. How much stuff is in there? So next week you might have something about passivity. So what are we talking tonight about? Going from negative to ready minds. Going from negative to ready minds. Negative what? Negative minds. Remember, we've been talking about negativism for the last, talking about the mind for the last 3 weeks. And I want to start tonight by saying this. I discovered early and was reaffirmed to me recently that condemnation is the quickest way to go downhill and miss what God has for us. So if there is any negative person here tonight, if there is anybody here tonight that have a negative attitude, I want to start by saying, please don't feel condemned. Are you with me here? Don't feel condemned. Why? Condemnation is a type of negativity. Are you with me here? Never thought about this before. The reason that I'm going to mention a little bit from negativism, going into a ready mind, is an attempt for any one of us that suffers from negativism to recognize the problem with being negative and begin to trust God to restore us. Not to make you become more negative about your negativism, if there's anybody here. I believe strongly that the pathway to freedom begins when we face the problem without making excuses for it. Are you with me so far? And I'm persuaded that if somebody is negative, mostly like there is a reason for somebody to be negative. There always is. But I want you to remember, as a godly person, as a Bible-believing, saved person, the Bible tells you and I that we are now a new person. You got that?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. So if we used to be negative in the past, very negative, very pessimist, don't feel condemned. Acknowledge the negativism in a positive way And then start working on that by remembering that as a newborn in Christ Jesus, you are a new person. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Is that right? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The fact that you and I may have been negative in the past doesn't mean that we have to continue to be negative in the present. Amen. In other words, as a new creation that you and I are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to allow the old negative thoughts, the old negative things that has happened to us in the past. We don't have to allow them to keep affecting our new life in Christ Jesus. And why is that? Because once you and I come to Christ, God has the power to make all things new. Are you with me so far? Therefore, I'm inviting you today to think as a new creature, to think about the new life that God has brought to you. You may say, but preacher, I still have some old memories of the past. I got a solution for that too. God is able to renew your mind and help you to get rid of the old things. Start thinking positive tonight. Start thinking about good stuff is going to happen to me. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to come with me right now to the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Would you mind reading it with me? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I believe that one of the hardest parts of being set free from negativism is facing the truth and saying, I am a negative person and I want to change. How many people you find out that are admitting that they are negative? Basically none. Nobody wants to admit I am a negative person. And this is one of the reasons that we make it so hard for a negative person to get free. Because we have difficulty admitting that kind of stuff. Here's another thing that makes it very hard. It's very hard to find people admitting that not only they are negative, but admitting that they can't change themselves. How many times have you met somebody that has really a nasty mouth and you contest, you confront that person in love? The person will ask you for forgiveness and within 3 or 4 days, the person goes back and do the same thing. Have you met somebody like this? And then you confront them again, they will kind of fight for a while, then they will ask you for forgiveness, and then a week later they do it all again. You know what I'm talking about, right? The same thing with negativism. One of the hardest things for us to be set free from a negative thought, a negative mind, is to admit that we are negative and to admit that we can't change ourselves and believe God will change us as we trust in Him. But here's a good thinking for you. If you have a pessimistic way of looking at life, try to swap the negative thought with the thought that God will take care of you at all times. Don't abide on the negative things that happened on the past and then get discouraged. No. Do like Paul says in Philippians 1:6. As the negative thought kicked in, you remind yourself, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For somebody that is accustomed, for somebody that used to always thinking negative, pessimistic, always talking negative and pessimistic, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not something that you got rid of overnight. But we can take the very first step in trusting that God will take care of us at all time. And every time that we have the tendency to become negative, remind ourselves, I'm confident of this very thing. This very thing. God has already started the good work in me, and he's going to complete it. So I'm going to look differently. I'm going to be positive. Because no matter what may happen, God has the best in mind for me. And if it's not working too well, ask the Holy Spirit to convict you every time that you start thinking negative. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you each and every time you start to think or to get negative. One may ask, why should I ask this to the Holy Spirit? Because this is his job. Listen again to John 16, 7 and 8. This is his job. He says, if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict. It's the work of the Spirit to convict. And now, ladies and gentlemen, especially beloved sisters, you're going to have a hard time convincing your husband of a lot of things, especially if he's an unbeliever. Why? The work of convincing is not yours, it's the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a hard time convincing your adult child or your adult sibling to do things the way that you think they should do. You can suggest, but you can't convince, because the work of convincing is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me here? And if we manage to convince somebody, it might be only temporary. So, my beloved, ask the Holy Spirit to convict you that you got to change this negative attitude. That's his job. Remind yourself that God has started a good work on you, and he's going to carry it to the end. And once the Holy Spirit talks to us and convinces us, let's go along. Let's accept the help. Let's train ourselves to do things differently. If you are in that situation right now where things are not looking quite positive, if you are in a situation right now where it seems like there isn't too much help or hope to that situation, I am challenging you tonight to speak the opposite. Somebody just confronted me. You keep telling on Wednesday night to talk positive, but the more positive I talk, the more worse thing happened to me. Then I kind of joked, well, then start talking as negative as you can. Why would I do that? I don't know. You're talking positive, it's not working, right? You're not helping, preacher. So what do you want me to do? I'm giving you the word of God. He that has started the good work in you shall carry to the end. Just start looking at things the way that God does. So instead of telling me that things are getting worse, you can say, well, I'm going through a rough time right now, but I believe God that I will be all right. Amen. That's a positive attitude in a negative situation. I'm not asking anybody here to refuse to face reality. Are you with me here? I'm not asking anybody to deny what is going on right now. However, if our reality today is negative, we can still have a positive attitude in the midst of negativism. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? This beloved soul said, you ask me to think positive, to talk positive, to look at things positive. It's getting worse. And I think that many times we miss the mark by being in the middle of something negative and having a negative attitude towards life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm asking you to face the reality, the negative reality that may be going through in your life right now, with a positive attitude. Why should you do that? 1 John 4:4 tells you why. Listen to this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because He who is in you
is greater than He is in the world.
This is why I'm going to be positive in a negative situation. This is why I'm going to be talking positive, I'm going to be thinking positive, I'm going to be acting positive, even if the situation is the most horrible one. Why? My God, look at me as a little children. And my God says that I can overcome. I can overcome them. Them who? Every situation. Every negative stuff that comes my way. Every negative thought. You know? Every bad stuff that happened, we can overcome them. And how can I overcome? Why should I overcome? Why can I overcome? Because greater is the one that is in us than the situation around. And this is why it does not pay to be negative. You may be saying, okay, preacher, I hear what you say. So how do I get from a negative situation to a ready mind situation? You may be asking, ready mind? What in the world is a ready mind? I'm coming. Well, let's go straight to, Brother Harry, give me Acts 17:11. The one that is in you is bigger than your problems. The one that is in you is bigger than any negative situation. And listen to this. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I'm giving you things today. I'm talking to you about things tonight, and I'm giving you the scripture. Have a ready mind, or fair mind, if you will. I think it's the King James that call it ready mind. Let me have the King James here, brother. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. So, I still don't get. You may say, I still don't get. What are you trying to say? I'm asking you to depart from the negative mind, the negative speech, the negative reaction. And even if you are in the midst of a very bad situation, a very negative situation, have a positive attitude in the middle of a bad situation. And how, why should I do that? Because greater is the one that's in you than the one that is in the world. If you're having a hard time accepting this, ask the Holy Spirit to convince you about this thing. And when He does, go along with the flow. And then have a ready mind. What do you mean have a ready mind? The Bible says that we are to have a ready mind like this. This means, I want you to hold this, hear this now. This means that We are to have minds that are open to the will of God for our lives, whatever that will may be. Are you with me here? If you go to the Greek New Testament and look at that word ready, this is the context behind it. I was reading several commentaries from the Greek word ready, or fair mind. Both fair and ready mind has the same context behind it. Someone who has a ready mind is someone that is open to the will of God for their lives, whatever that will may be. Now, the problem that we will find with negative minds is that some of us are stubborn. We tell God how we want things done, the way we want things done, and how it's supposed to be. And when God comes through in a different way, we get disappointed. And then we become negative.
Yep.
Have a ready mind. What do you mean have a ready mind? Be ready to accept God's will to you, whatever that will may be. Instead of having a negative attitude when things doesn't come our way, let's choose to have a positive attitude in the midst of negative stuff. Because great is the one that is in us and then the one that is in the world. And then, let's do like these guys. Have a ready mind. And what is a ready mind? It's that mind that is ready to take the will of God, whatever that will may be. Will God ever give us one of those houses? I think He will. And I don't believe I'm going to pay $700,000. Why? God's will for us right now is that. That's what we can handle. And I'm very happy I have a $900 mortgage payment. $300 less than the rent I was paying.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
So having a ready mind is having that kind of mind that will accept the will of God, whatever that will may be. And in some instances, that will is not our will. And I tell you one thing, God has a very, very weird way of doing things. If in the midst of life right now something negative happened to you, having a ready mind, having a positive mind is to say, well, I may be sad that this is happening to me right now, but I'm choosing to trust God. And I know that God will work all things together to my good and that I will come out better at the end.
Amen.
Having a ready mind and a positive mind is having that attitude, I will survive because Jesus lives within me. It may be hard right now, but I trust in the word of God. I believe that in the end, everything will work together for my good.
Amen.
This is facing facts. This is having a ready mind and still being positive. This is a healthy, well-balanced attitude in life. In order to continue to have a ready mind, we also need to have a powerful attitude of hope. Say what? We gotta have an attitude of hope. What do you mean? There's gonna be many situations in our lives that it's gonna look like it's impossible for anything to happen. It is impossible for anything positive to come through. Through all this nonsense I'm going through, have hope. One of my favorite scriptures on the Bible, I spoke about it so many times. Some of you may remember. Brother Harry, can you put up that Romans 4, 18, 19, and 20? Watch this. Abraham, who, contrary to... Now, this dude here ain't got no hope at all. But Abraham, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. I'm not talking about any type of hope. I'm talking about believing hope. Yeah. I'm not talking about hope like the world has out there. I'm talking about that hope that, well, things may not be looking favorable. I may not be able to do this or that or the other. But I believe God can change this. Yeah. That's believing hope. It says the contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Next verse, 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Are you following me here right now? If we are negative and are looking for the negative stuff happening around us, this dude here would have to have 25 doses of Viagra one time, and it may not even work. His wife was already dead. It says that her womb was already dead. Are y'all with me so far? Yeah. And yet God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He had faith hope. He didn't take into consideration that his body was already dead. No more directions. That Sarah had a dead womb. He decided to believe in what God had said. And he hoped in faith God's going to do it. It's looking positive in a negative situation. Listen to verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving God glory. So what you're saying, preacher? Well, what the book here is telling us today is this. We cannot let situations to control our joy. Is anybody listening to me here? Amen. We cannot control negative, we cannot allow negative situations to control our joy. Are we together? And I'll tell you one more thing. In the beginning of the year, you get a piece of paper on the 31st to write down your goals for 2017. I am believing for many things. But above all this, I am believing in someone. Follow me here. Remember that goals that you received for 2017 and you wrote 10 things that want to achieve in 2017? Hello? Yes, sir. We remember that, right? Yes. So we are believing for many things. What if by the end of the year you look back and nothing happened? That should not cause us to lose hope. Why? Because above all, not only we are believing for all that stuff, we believe in someone that is bigger than everything. And that someone is Jesus. And you know, we don't always know what's going to happen. We just know it will always work out for our good. It may very well be that the things that I'm looking for to accomplish this year, as a person, I'm not talking about church goals, I'm talking personally. It may very well be that the goals that I have for 2017 may not necessarily line up with what God had intended for me. The fact that if the end of the year would come and I wouldn't achieve those goals, shouldn't be a reason to keep me negative. I will have a positive attitude and give God glory, because at the end all this will work for my good. How? I don't know. And I don't have to know. It's good when we know everything, but it's even better when we know somebody that knows all in our behalf. You with me so far? I believe that the more positive we become, the more we will flow into the anointing of God. Why do you say so? Because God is certainly a positive God. Are you with me? And if we're going to flow with God, we must also become positive people. If any one of us here tonight may have a really adverse circumstance or situation, you may be thinking, preacher, if you knew my situation, you wouldn't expect me to be positive. I will respond to you. Being positive in a positive situation is easy. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Anyone can do that. Being positive in a positive situation is a piece of cake. Anybody can do that. But you know what? You know what? When we are positive in a negative situation, it shows a genuine trust in God. And it also shows that our spirit.
Challenging you tonight. Don't you ever stop hoping. Don't you dare to stop having faith. Because if you do, you're going to have a very miserable life. Therefore, if anybody is already having a miserable life because they have no hope, start hoping today. Don't be afraid. Are you with me? Even in disappointment, or in times of disappointment, God can come through. You can hope the positive, the best. Put yourself in God's miracle-working realm. Expect a miracle in your life this week yet. Expect good things. And I want to wrap up by telling you this. Expect to receive.
be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So what you're saying, preacher? If you and I will meditate on this scripture here, this scripture will bring great hope to our lives. God is saying to us tonight, he's looking for someone that he can be gracious to. And I think that that someone cannot be a person who has a negative mind, a negative attitude. It must be someone who is expecting, looking and longing for God to be good to them. Expect something positive to happen in your life today. Listen to Proverbs 15:15. I just have to throw that in there. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. If you have a positive attitude, even in the midst of the most negative circumstances, it's always be feastful, because this is what God's promise. Final tonight. Don't let your tongue rob you from your miracle. Don't let your tongue rob you from your blessing. In 1 Peter 3, verse 10, we find this. Read it with me. For wow. Brother Harry, give me the New Living Translation here. I'm curious here now. I was so excited when I read this thing here. I said, wow. That's better. The scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Keep your tongue from talking negative stuff. If one wants to enjoy life and have happy days, in other words, don't let your tongue steal your blessings away from you. Folks, enjoying life and seeing good days and having a positive attitude, a positive mouth, a positive mind are all linked together. No matter how negative we may have been or how long we have been negative, I can tell you one thing. God can change it. God is bigger than any problem that you and I may have. Whatever happens, whatever may be going on in your life today, have a positive attitude in the midst of a negative situation. Don't you dare to let the devil steal your blessings on the ground of negativism. Instead, resist negativism aggressively. Don't let your circumstances or your situation control your joy. Be of a ready and positive mind. God bless you.